Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, we gather here to worship because in some way, at some point, we have heard the call of God and have chosen to respond. But what exactly is this call? Some people think that it's a matter of belief and proudly declare, "I'm a believer." But being a Christian is about more than belief. You know, even the devil believes. The devil knows and believes every single truth about God, and it frightens him. Some people think that being a Christian is about going to church and belonging to a congregation. And we proudly declare that we are Anglican or Lutheran or Presbyterian or whatever. I guess mostly Anglican here, hey? Now, going to church is important, and it is helpful, and it is a blessing to belong to a community of faith. But church attendance doesn't make you a Christian any more than belonging to a gym makes you an athlete. Trust me, I know. You know, I saw once it talked about, so what do you call the people that buy the gym memberships and never show up? And the gym owner said, "Oh, those would be our donors." So what exactly is God calling us to? What is the essence of being a Christian? Today's text uses the word disciple. And we think about the 12 called by Jesus. And we think about all of the other crowds of people who followed Jesus, marveling at his miracles, hanging on his every word of teaching. We think of a disciple as a follower. And yes, following is a necessary part of responding to the call of Jesus. But it's really only a beginning point. The old hymn declares, "I have decided to follow Jesus." And it does capture that one important dynamic. At the end of it, it says, "No turning back, no turning back." But following is not the be-all and end-all of the life of the disciples called by Jesus. Yes, they meandered around Galilee for 3 years, but that wasn't the essence of what they were doing. We dilute the meaning of discipleship if we simply equate it to believing or belonging or even following. Dallas Willard suggests that maybe instead of the word disciple, these days we need to use the word apprentice. This is a word that much more fully captures the essence of discipleship. An apprentice is a student of sorts, but not just the kind of student who reads books and studies hard and hopes to pass exams. Apprenticeship happens in practical fields, like being a carpenter or a plumber or an electrician. And while the course of study that the apprentice undergoes does require hitting the books and mastering a certain body of knowledge, more importantly, apprentices go out for on-the-job training. It isn't enough to know how to frame a house or fix a toilet. You have to be able to physically get the job done. You work with a master in the field because someday you want to be able to do the job that the master is demonstrating. And we see that model demonstrated in Jesus' relationship with his disciples. He taught them, he showed them, and then he sent them out to go and do the ministry. Jesus doesn't just call us so that we can learn about him, but so that the ministry that he began can continue in this time and in this place through us. Today's gospel text speaks of various aspects of discipleship that are not the easiest for us to wrap our heads around. The beginning of the text. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Well, I guess we should just pack it up there and all go home, because, you know, I don't know if any of us qualify based on that. Wait, hate is such a strong word. Besides which, I thought that the Christian life was supposed to be about loving everyone, even our enemies. If we read this text literally, we are in big trouble. Because no, Jesus is not inviting us to a lifestyle of hatred. Something common in Jewish rhetoric is something called hyperbole. Jesus uses deliberate exaggeration to catch the attention of those who are listening, even as he wants to emphasize a particular spiritual truth. In this case, the idea that nothing can be more important or have greater priority in our lives than being a disciple. The parable before today's text talks about all of the excuses that people have for why they can't respond to the call of Jesus. And it references the text that is the foundation of that children's song. You guys might have sung this in Sunday school. I cannot come to the banquet, don't trouble me now. I have married a wife, I have bought me a cow. I have fields and commitments that cost a pretty sum. Pray hold me excused, I cannot come. A whole handful of excuses. We probably have our own excuses. But this text emphasizes that nothing is to have greater importance in our life than responding to the call of Jesus. Family life is important to Jesus, but cannot become an excuse to leave behind the discipleship to which we have been called. There are other texts in Scripture that reassure us that when we make discipleship our priority, everything else will find its proper place in our lives as well. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and you'll have everything else. Now, in this next part of the text, Jesus wants us to think about planning and committing and finishing. He uses the example of someone who embarked on a building project and couldn't finish because the money ran out. Just for fun and excitement one day, Google unfinished building projects. And you'll see this list of projects, some more contemporary, some more ancient, that got started and somehow never got finished. Well, some of them, there were wars and things that interfered, but sometimes it was purely and simply a matter of running out of money. There's this huge hotel in South Korea, no, sorry, it's North Korea, that is empty because even the North Korean government couldn't continue to finance the construction. It's amazing how many structures around the world have run into this problem of people dashing in and starting a project and just not finishing it. Have we started the project of a Christian life without the capacity of finishing it? I have good news and bad news. The good news is that being able to complete this Christian project is never solely dependent upon us. The grace of God continues to carry us forward. But the bad news is that it will take everything we've got. The life of discipleship was never meant to be a part-time endeavor or a side gig carved out of whatever spare time we could find. Again, it's about focus and priority. And Jesus says, any of you that does not give up everything cannot be my disciple. This sounds radical. And like some disciples in another story, we might want to say, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? It might even sound more than a little scary and overwhelming. But let's look at it from a slightly different perspective. We talk a lot about Christianity being about living in relationship with Jesus. Now, think for a minute about relationship and what relationships in your life are the most valuable, the most satisfying to you. We have many different kinds of relationships. We have casual relationships with our neighbors. There are some people in my building that I recognize and say hi to. Haven't gotten to the point where I could knock on a door and borrow sugar yet, but, you know, who knows? Some of you may have slightly deeper relationships with your neighbors. Sometimes you might even become friends with your neighbors. We have relationships with professionals. My doctor knows a lot about me, but we're never going to be going out to coffee or anything. We have relationships with relatives, some of whom we love, and some of whom we tolerate, and some of whom we try to avoid. But think for a minute about the person that you would call your best friend, the one who is always there for you, the one that you can talk to about anything, the one who knows more of your secrets than anyone else. That's the kind of relationship that Jesus wants. A relationship that includes every part of your life. It's not just that discipleship demands everything, but it also offers Jesus presence, love, and support in every area of our lives. We think again about the idea of being an apprentice. It's fall, and so the kids are going back to school. And those of us who are parents or grandparents expect that during the course of this year, they're going to learn something. And perhaps more importantly, they're going to grow as human beings. What if we had the same mindset in terms of our Christian lives? Curcio, which is happening again this fall, who is a Curcioista here? If you have any questions about Curcio, talk to one of these people and they can tell you all about it. It's a life that includes piety, study, and action. Piety is about our life of prayer and worship. Study is about growing in our knowledge of Scripture and faith. And the presupposition is that we put this into action in our relationships. As the kids return to school this year, maybe we all need to ask ourselves how we are being called into a deeper discipleship this year. Today's gospel text does sound a little scary and demanding. That's why we need to read it in the context of the whole of Scripture. That's why we need to understand that the call to discipleship is not just an overwhelming demand, but it's an overwhelming gift. It's a gateway into a grace-filled life in which the fullness of the life that we were meant to have gradually overflows into our lives. It's a call. It's a gift. Thanks be to God. Amen.